Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report right before Christmas. I appreciate all of you joining us on this, what I'm sure is a busy weekend for all of you getting ready for Christmas and continuing on with the holiday season. We are going to mostly recap again what happened about a week and a half ago with the Fed pivot and the market reaction on the back end of that, and try to really look ahead to project what 2024 is going to look like, because there are still a lot of question marks, whether the markets are going to continue trending higher like they have for most of the year, whether the Fed is going to cut rates, and what that could look like carried over to a number of other markets. We are kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, let's start off with your comments on this Fed pivot. The Fed didn't cut rates, but boy, oh boy, Jerome Powell's press conference, as we've talked about for the last week and a half, he came out about as dovish as he could have, and really, it seemed like tried to lock in the fact that rate cuts would happen next year, whether the economy drops out of bed or not, as long as data keeps moving in what the Fed is predicting, which is lower inflation and still a gradual slowdown in the economy. Jesse, what does this carry over for next year? Do you think that A, we're going to be seeing rate cuts, and quite frankly, this pivot party, could it continue?
I mean, it's a great question. I think we first have to try and understand where this pivot was coming from. And to me, the greatest evidence that there was indeed a pivot came from Nick Timiraos, who's, you know, the Wall Street Journal reporter who covers the Fed, and who's the Fed has leaked information to him over the years. So he's, you know, he's probably the single greatest indicator of what the Fed intends to do. You know, Nick Timiraos asked Jay Powell about the dramatic loosening in financial conditions that we've seen over the last 6 weeks, which is one of the most rapid loosening of financial conditions we've ever seen. I think everybody, economists, market strategists, expected Jay Powell to push back and say markets have gotten ahead of themselves, it's too early to be talking about rate cuts, and basically just say the same thing that he's been saying for well over a year now, which is inflation is a problem and we're focused squarely on making sure we bring inflation sustainably back down to target. The fact that he didn't push back, I mean, he said, you know, markets are going to do what they're going to do, and you know, he given that opportunity to push back against the loosening of financial conditions, and the fact that he declined to push back was a very clear sign that they're no longer focused on the inflation side of the mandate, or at least solely on the inflation side. They're becoming much more concerned with the employment side of the mandate. Now, what inspired such a rapid flip-flop? Because less than 2 weeks before that, he was, you know, publicly still saying that, you know, they're focused on inflation. It's too early to talk about rate cuts. So something in that two-week period happened, and he changed his tune dramatically in a short period of time. So I think there's two potential things that I see. One is, either the Fed sees rapid deterioration in the economy, they don't want to be late in addressing, or there's just, you could use the term fiscal dominance, which is something I've kind of been talking about for years now, which is the fact that the monetary policy discretion is just no longer there for the central bank. It's far more important to meet the needs of the Treasury than it is to do the right thing for inflation or unemployment or whatever. Really what that means is there's so much federal debt out there that needs to refinance over the next, you know, however many years, that if it were all to be refinanced at 5% plus, could cause big problems, could cause a debt crisis. And so the needs of the Treasury are such that interest rates have to come down because they just cannot be refinanced otherwise. One of those potential scenarios or things is probably what inspired the flip-flop. And I think it could be a combination of both. The economy is slowing significantly, and the needs of the Treasury are becoming a very serious, you know, you could call it the Fed's third mandate. It's, you know, you need to help fund the government.
Oh, absolutely, right? And that could be very much a reason why they want to start cutting rates even, let's say, before a full-on recession hits, however they want to define it. But, Jesse, can you dive into their dot plots as well as the economic forecast changes? Because it really seems like the Fed wants to follow inflation lower. And right now, if you look at some of the inflation metrics that the Fed looks at, where the Fed's funds rate is, it's almost 200 basis points higher than some of that inflation data. Seems like the Fed really is expecting, first of all, inflation to continue to trickle down over the next 2 to 3 years to get down to that 2% level. And at that point, they want the Fed's funds rate about 50 basis points higher there. Where are the issues that you see, either in the dot plots, which are expecting about 3 rate cuts next year, or the economic forecasts that the Fed provided us heading 2 to 3 years out?
I mean, I don't really pay any attention to the dot plots personally. They're always wrong. It's good to know kind of what the Fed is thinking, you know, about those things, but they're always wrong, right? I mean, you look back, go back to, you know, 2020, whatever, 2021, and they believed, you know, Fed funds rate was going to peak at 2% or something silly. And, you know, we're 5+ now. So to think that they know where the Fed funds rate is going to be a year from now is, doesn't make any sense to me. I think the biggest thing that to pay attention to right now is the fact that Jay Powell did not push back against that loosening of financial conditions really opens the door for inflation to be a problem next year, to bottom out now and start reaccelerating. And the thing that, you know, we were talking about before we went on the air here is that you look at things like median CPI tracked by the Cleveland Fed, you look at things like sticky price CPI, and even super core inflation, which is the measure the Fed has pointed everybody to keep a close eye on. And if you just look at the 3-month annualized rates of these things, they're reaccelerating to the upside. So inflation has been pushed down by, right, we've had energy prices come way down, supply chains reopen, and this is all great. So goods inflation has come way down. But services inflation and wages are still elevated. And so the fact that the Fed is letting its foot off of the gas right now in terms of the tightening of financial conditions really opens the door to a reacceleration of the inflation problem at some point in the future. And I think you can already see it in housing activity. We've had interest rates come down on mortgages, you know, from 8.5 or something down, you know, well into the low 7s, I think. And you see housing starts pick up dramatically, you know, in the news this week. And that suggests to me that there is resilience in the economy, and that it opens the door to a reacceleration to inflation on the upside. I think Raghuram Rajan, who is, you know, former central banker for India and warned the Fed about, you know, pre-financial crisis at Jackson Hole. I mean, he came out and said recently that before you'd even want to consider pausing rate hikes, you'd need to see wages come down much more significantly, a much more loosening of the labor market. And we're not seeing that. And so I think we might look back on this time for the Fed like we look back at the transitory period where the Fed was saying we don't need to raise rates because this inflation spike is transitory. Well, it turned out that that was a very bad misjudgment, one of the worst misjudgments in Fed history. And this could prove to be another similar misjudgment of the underlying inflation pressure.
Well, we will get some inflation data on this Friday, right before this is aired on the weekend. We'll see where that goes. It seems like the Fed, though, is fairly confident that inflation will keep ticking down, and it has come down a significant portion from where it was, but still, it's not at that 2% rate that the Fed wants. Sounds like they want to follow inflation lower, but again, any inflation spike could throw their plans upside down. Jesse, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but everyone stick around. We're going to be right back, continuing to chat with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're with
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Jesse, we talked more macro in the first segment. I want to carry this all over to the markets then, because the markets had a pivot party. They've been having a pivot party for the last almost 2 months. Some strong moves in a wide range of sectors, even with small caps playing a little bit of catch up. Metals did well. Commodities did well. Again, it was almost across the board a flat out pivot party. What's sustainable? What could continue through next year then?
Well, I think that if you were a precious metals bull, that Powell press conference would be the most bullish thing you could ever hope for, that the Fed is going to back off the inflation side of the mandate. To me, it was a huge green light for anybody who's interested at all in hard assets or anything like that, because it says, you know, we're going to let our guard down in terms of inflation, or we're going to err on the side of letting inflation remain above target. Now, if that's kind of how things play out and inflation doesn't come back to target, and that'll make it really, really difficult for the Fed to cut rates in any meaningful way. And I think that's probably supportive of that higher for longer case. So I think you have to either be bullish on the economy. In that case, you're not going to get any rate cuts. Or if you're bearish on the economy, then rate cuts are going to come, but they're going to come because of a significant deterioration in the economy. That's not bullish for equities, right? Equities are discounting serious earnings growth for 2024. If you don't get that earnings growth, you have a big problem with valuations. And so I think that this pivot, while markets have interpreted as being very bullish for financial assets, I just don't see it. I don't think this is bullish for stocks or bonds, because it likely means inflation is going to stay high. I think maybe the most likely outcome for next year is some type of a stagflationary environment where the economy continues to weaken, not into recession, but inflation also stays high, and that doesn't really allow the Fed to really do much to support the economy. Now, stagflation is the polar opposite of a soft landing. So, if markets are priced for a soft landing, and I think they are, there could be real disappointment there.
Well, Jesse, just to that point, I mean, several people brought this up even over the weekend in missives, that it seems like a disconnect that the market is missing, that if they're excited about, if there's a pivot party because they're going to be cutting rates next year, they seem to be missing the point that if they're cutting rates next year, something else is going on in the economy that wouldn't be positive. And if you see an uptick in inflation and they can't really cut as much, that's also maybe a reason to have not partied so hard. What do you make of the extremity of this move, and could it have gotten ahead of itself here?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're at a very important inflection point for the stock market. I'll just give you two data points, things that I track pretty closely. One is the small speculators' position in S&P 500 futures. They recently put on their biggest net long position in history. The prior record was in November of 2021, just before the market peaked and rolled over into the bear market of 2022. So these small speculators are usually on the wrong side of the market. I mean, very regularly on the wrong side, and they're record long right now. Flip on the other side of that, another thing I watch very, very closely is insider buying and selling. Corporate executives and directors, what are they doing in their own shares? And right now, we have these small, over the last 12 months, the smallest amount of buying I've ever seen on record. So insiders have zero interest in buying stock, and small speculators, who are, usually very good contrarian indicator, are buying like there's no tomorrow. And so to me, it's a very, very, from a contrarian standpoint, it's screaming it's time to be bearish.
Jesse, is there any data, any market moves that would change your mind, that would change this kind of generally more economic bearish, more inflation spiking, and also more markets have run their course higher and are too high right now? Anything that would change your outlook early on next year?
Here's what I think the Fed should do, is they should stay tough on the inflation side of the mandate. And now I just don't think they can afford to, because unlike, I think debt to GDP on Paul Volcker's time was less than, you know, 75% lower than it is today. So Jay Powell simply cannot be the second coming of Paul Volcker, even though that may be what we need in order to bring inflation back down. So I think we are in a new environment of, you know, and we've talked about this for, you know, a couple of years now, at least. We're in a new commodity super cycle, and it's going to be driven by this higher inflation cycle that is a structural, systemic issue. So I think if the Fed really wanted to address this, Jay Powell would have to make it very clear to Congress that the fiscal house needs to, you know, get their house in order and do the things to set the stage. You have to take short-term pain for the long-term benefit of the economy. Now, the fact that we're not willing to do that right now, Congress is not, and the Fed is not, Treasury is not, nobody is, right? I mean, Janet Yellen is focusing on T-bills right now, and she could have, like Sam Druckenmiller said a month or two ago, the Fed had a huge opportunity to sell a bunch of long-term bonds at ultra-low interest rates, and they passed on that opportunity, right? Nobody wants to do the right thing for the long-term health of the economy. Now, if Congress were to, you know, get its act together and say we're going to really address the budget deficit, and the Fed is going to say, okay, you do that, and we'll be able to handle our side of the inflation side of the mandate, then I think you'd set the stage for a really beautiful long-term picture for the economy and for financial assets. But until that happens, it's really difficult, I think, to be bullish on financial assets. And I think from a defensive standpoint, you have to focus on hard assets.
There's a sector I'd like to get your thoughts on. I know a lot of our listeners follow along with that, and you do as well, and that's the energy space. There's a lot of dynamics in the energy space. How are you looking at the energy sector?
I'm very bullish. I mentioned insiders a minute ago, and I just keep seeing insider buying in select companies in this space, which tells me, I mean, and it's really the only equity space where I see consistent insider buying. And that just tells me that they have a very strong belief in the long-term prospects for these businesses over the next several years, and they believe the valuations are very good. I think what we've seen in the oil market is the market's trying to price in a recession. And I think that's where oil has gotten. The oil price has priced in a recession. Now, so if you don't get a recession, then the oil price could just rebound really strongly about that. But if you do get one, then it's kind of already in the price. So I see a margin of safety in the energy sector today that I don't really see anywhere else.
All right, Jesse. Hey, thank you very much for your time on this weekend show. Thank you for your time throughout this year. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy New Year. Next year undoubtedly will be a very interesting one as we do again kind of what we did this year. Wonder when the Fed is going to start cutting rates and how the economy and how the markets are going to react to it all. Jesse, again, thank you very much for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Weekend and a very happy new year.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
To find out
to
more
you.
About today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
USA News. news update.
I don't want to jinx us, but so far, 2023 has seen the lowest cancellation rate in the last 5 years.
So far, so good this Saturday in terms of Christmas travel. Some flights delayed or canceled due to weather, but overall, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says things way better this season than last.
Which translates to more people getting to where they needed to be.
And more people flying because it's cheaper. Here's USA's John Schaefer.
The anticipation of a record-breaking number of air travelers during the holiday season is largely attributed to a significant 12% reduction in airfare compared to last year.
Now, as for shoppers, malls packed with people looking for those 11th-hour gifts.
This is part of their gift from mommy to them. We've spent a lot of money because I got last-minute tickets for everything.
But it's okay. Once a year, who cares? I'll be in debt for a little bit.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we are going to continue to look more broadly at these markets with a bit more of a focus on some of the charts and individual sectors, as we are now chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the LionShare Pro website. Dana, let's start off with the broad averages here. The Dow recently moved to all-time highs. The S&P is still relatively close to all-time highs. But look, we really hear a discrepancy between some of the bears saying these markets have gone too fast. They still don't like the outlook for 2024 in terms of a recession. And they think that, quite frankly, maybe this is kind of just a blow-off top four markets. But there's some generalists that we have on, you being one, that look more at the charts and have at least some of these other guys said these markets look pretty strong right here. Look, there's no denying that the S&P has been strong. It was 6 days in a row that it was hugging that upper Bollinger Band, almost straight up through all of December and even the last maybe month and a half. Dana, what are you seeing in this market? Is this truly a strong market for the broad averages?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. As you know, as we've talked about for years, we have, you know, quantitative models that help us decipher exactly the questions you're asking. Is this a strong market? is this a market that we want to be substantially long, or do we want to be substantially out or even short? Is this a rally that we really believe in? And the data that we track that we think is important suggests that there are legs to this rally, that it is still firm. The data that we look at is still supportive of a strong intermediate term environment for stocks, for not just the large caps and the techs, which have been leading for some time, but we've seen a lot of improvement in the broader market, in the amount of participation across the market, all cap sizes, you know, small caps, mid caps. We've seen a lot of improvement in terms of the internals, at least since, you know, over the last month or so. And that's certainly, as opposed to the start of the rally when it was mostly short covering and the large caps leading the way. This increase in participation is exactly what we want to see in order to give us more confidence that there is a durable or persistent nature to this rally. So from an intermediate term perspective, we have no reason to be looking for the exits at this point. Certainly from a short-term perspective, some of the momentum and those types of readings are historically extended, but that doesn't mean anything as far as the potential for the longer term or the intermediate term. We think, obviously, from a technical perspective, you got the NASDAQ 100 and the Dow and some other averages bumping up against all-time highs, so maybe a short-term pullback or pause, especially with some of the short-term sentiment readings getting ramped up of late. But again, from an intermediate-term perspective, our stuff is very strong, and we don't see any signs yet that we want to be looking for the exits.
Well, Dana, let's dive in a little bit more to the improving market breadth. You've made the point on our show a number of times that generally the markets will trend with the overall direction, 70-80% of the direction of the stock market. And if you think back earlier in the year, some of the rallies we saw in the first half of the year culminating in July were really led by the mega cap tech stocks and the tech sector. And it was holding up the weighted indexes. But we were talking before this call that if you look at the even weighted indexes, or if you look at something like the IWM, the Russell 2000, and look at the small caps, the participation has really broadened out. So maybe just dive under the hood on that area of the market breadth and what you're seeing.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what I'm referring to when I'm talking about the broadening participation. And as you said, for a durable or persistent rally, you want to see that wide participation. We don't get it when you have a narrow select group of large caps moving to new highs like we saw in July, you know, June, July, even as the equal weight averages or the broader markets or the smaller cap averages are languishing or diverging to the downside. Those types of rallies are not persistent. They're not durable. Eventually, they will go the way, as you mentioned, of the broader market. So, and that's what happened at the top in July. As the S&P was hitting new highs, the micro caps, for example, were just off our 52-week lows, which is not a good sign. And again, when that happens, almost 100% of the time, the market will correct towards the broad market, at least in the near term. That's what happened just recently into the lows in October. Now, we saw, as I mentioned, it seems like a lot of the froth that was built up in July reversed itself in October. A lot of people started hedging, getting a little bit of fearful readings as far as investor sentiment, and those are the conditions that you need to spark a near-term bottom. And we saw huge short covering rally right off the bat. Didn't see a great breadth or great participation that first month of the rally, but as I mentioned, over the last month or 5 weeks or so, we've seen a resurgence in terms of breadth, internals, the broader averages, the equal weight averages, and now they are arguably leading the way, at least over the last couple of weeks. So we're seeing new highs now for the year in, like you mentioned, the equal weight averages, mid caps hit new highs for the year. Even the small and micro caps challenging those highs from July. So that is a good sign. As I mentioned before, that's a sign of a potentially persistent rally.
So, Dana, some of the bears are pointing to a couple recent data points, one being last Friday, the biggest ETF inflows into SPY ever since its inception in 1993, as well as some fear greed indexes reaching extreme greed. So the bears are pointing to these, saying that everyone's plowed into the bull side of this boat, and that, they're saying, is never a good sign. What do you take away from some of this data that truly is showing people are more bullish on these markets?
Yeah, and you know, what's going to make people more bullish is price action, right? So price leads sentiment, and we've seen historic rally over the last couple months. So you're going to see that improvement in sentiment, and we've seen just of late some of those signs that you mentioned, those inflows in the ETFs, some very extremely low put-to-call ratios. So people are catching up as far as sentiment to the price action. So I would say from a durational standpoint, that's probably more of a short-term concern right now. As I mentioned before, at those October lows, people are extremely hedged and very defensive. Allocations have come down quite a bit. At this point, after the initial short covering rally, I think there was still a lot of cash on the sideline, at least tradable cash, and that's just starting to come in now. I don't think we're near to the extent that we were in the summer, so I think a lot of people are still underweight. Maybe we did have that rush of late, and like I mentioned, that could lead to a short-term pause or pullback like we saw yesterday, and especially as we're challenging those all-time highs in some of the major averages, it's a good spot for a pause or pullback. But I think allocations are probably still quite a bit below where they were in the middle of the summer. So that means more potential cash, more potential fuel to come into the market if we do get a dip. And that's another reason I think we do continue to see higher highs. And one reason I'm not that concerned in the intermediate term yet about the inflows and the sentiment readings getting higher, I think that's more of a short-term phenomenon or a short-term concern at least.
Hey, one thing to remember, too, is that overbought readings actually signify bull markets, especially after the fact when we had such a big sell-off a couple of years ago, and it really did seem like everyone was trying to fight this market on the way up throughout this year. Now everyone's getting bullish. Maybe it means a short-term pullback, but overall, there are a number of our commentators who think we could easily be seeing all-time highs early next year. Hey, everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap up the show with Dana Lyons, shifting our focus to a few other markets.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans, nonprofits, and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast?
We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons. And Dana, let's look at some other markets, because look, it's not just U.S. broad averages that are moving higher. There's a lot of markets that have moved up over the last couple months. Let's look at the bond market, because yields have been almost on a straight path lower. The 10-year was almost at 5% about 2 months ago, and well, now it dropped down to 3.8%. I know longer term, we've talked about it plenty of times, that you still see rates remaining higher, but what do you see in the bond market, and it seems like the rush into bonds as well?
Yeah, well, longer term, you're right, we do see yields trending higher for many years or decades to come, like we mentioned, like we've been mentioning. But the last few shows, we talked about dropping yields after they had broken out, I guess, this summer, maybe in August. That maybe contributed to part of the pullback in equities was the breakout in yields. But after we peaked, about the time it peaked in yields around the time that stocks bottom, we foresaw, and we've been talking about it, an impending test of that breakout level in yields in the 30-year and the 10-year yields. That would be quite the development as far as financial markets are concerned, because that, especially in the 10-year, that level around the 4% and the low 4s from a historical perspective, going back to even the highs in the early 80s, was a very significant level. If we could have broken out above that level on a sustainable basis, that opens up the next major up leg towards about 6.5% probably. So this test that's going on right now with yields pulling back and testing those breakout levels is really a monumental test. And if we can hold here, then we have substantial new highs to come as far as yields are concerned. And like I mentioned, the next big level would probably be about 6.5% on the 10-year. On the flip side, if yields break back below that breakout level, then we have a false breakout in the chart, and nothing, the only thing as strong as a breakout is a false breakout to the reverse side. So if we cannot hold these levels and we fall below, that opens substantial downside, which obviously would have a lot of ramifications across financial markets. And just from a yield perspective on the 10-year, for example, which is testing, you know, around that 390 to 4% right now. It's a key level. If we cannot hold, then that opens up downside probably to, you know, about 3.25 and eventually maybe like 275 to the downside. And like I said, that would have a huge ripple effect across financial markets and might be a further boost to, at least in the near term, that rally that we're seeing in equities.
Well, Dana, another factor that's kind of gone in tandem with the interest rates pulling back is the U.S. dollar also pulling back. As the market's bounced up since October, the dollar has pulled back down and down and down. Now it's in the 101 range. What is your outlook on the greenback?
Yeah, right now, you know, it's been range-bound. Hasn't been like currency markets often, you know, are pretty some of the most trendy markets. It's been kind of a knee-jerk market. Not that you haven't seen a lot of higher highs, higher lows, pretty much going sideways. Right now, I would say the benefit of doubt is now to the downside, with about that 99 level being kind of the downside target for us. That's kind of the must-hold level. If we break down below there, that opens up significant downside, I think, from there. So I'd keep an eye on basically around that 99 level on the dollar. Until then, we're pretty much just range-bound, so nothing that would spark any aggressive positioning as far as we're concerned.
Okay, we'll watch that 99 level. Fair enough. That was the low so far of this year in July. Let's also talk about gold, because gold has done quite well, holding right in above that $2,000 level. It made another attempted run at around 2,100, quickly reversed from there. But again, this gold chart over the last couple months has been quite strong and is very close to all-time highs. What are you seeing for gold here, Dana?
Yeah, I see, you know, basically a consolidation right now at all-time highs. As you know, we trade the ETFs and exchange-traded products as far as gold is concerned. So you're looking at GLD, for example, pretty much consolidating right around those highs we've seen over the last couple of years. And then you backtrack to 2011, and you got the highs in the same area. So if you're charting patternist, looks like some variation of a cup and handle, and that's a very strong chart pattern. It suggests an eventual breakout, and it suggests plenty of upside once it does break out. So I think the last few years have just been kind of digesting that rally we saw off the 2016 lows and storing up fuel for a potential more sustainable breakout once it does move above those all-time highs, which, you know, you don't want to ever anticipate a breakout, but the longer we hang around these levels, the more likely I think a breakout will be. So that's what if we're betting, and we are with our position, we've been long, we would anticipate a breakout and more of a pretty healthy and sustainable next up leg.
Dana, just a quick follow-up regarding the gold market here. With that positive outlook for gold, I'm curious to hear what you think of the gold stock, something like GDX, that ETF, where it's broadly still kind of in the middle of a trading range that it's been in through 2022 and then in through this year, trading in a tighter range, but it too has rebounded over the last about 2 months, but it's not really close to all-time highs. So what are you seeing in the GDX chart?
Yeah, again, and that highlights the difference between the metal, you know, the commodity itself, and the miners, the stocks, which GDX and the miners, they're going to be influenced by the metal itself and then also by whatever the stock market's doing. So you have to kind of weigh those factors out as far as analyzing the miners' charts. Right now, I would say with our optimistic view on gold, that should lift the miners for sure. At least they should trend in the same direction as gold, even if they don't go to all-time highs like gold appears to be setting up for. as long as it's trending in the right direction, you could have a nice bounce, for example, in GDX back to the highs, those COVID highs from a couple years ago, and you're looking at a pretty good rate return right there, even if we don't go to all-time highs. And then, you know, if we do, that's obviously a long way to go. That'd be basically doubling right now from where we are. But I think as long as we continue to trend in the right direction, I think that is, especially if you get a breakout in gold, which from a price perspective would be, could be very profitable, you could get a little bit more juice from the gold equities, even again, even if they don't go to all-time highs, even if they move up, you know, towards those highs from 2020, that gives you a little bit more juice than you might get in gold itself. Obviously, again, it depends what the equity market is doing as well, but as long as it's trending in the same direction, you might get, like I said, a little bit more juice out of the gold equities.
Well, Dana, I know that you mentioned you don't have a lot of thoughts on the energy sector, but I do value your technical look at it. When you look at the oil markets, it's been in a real whipsaw. Which way do you think the propensity of odds are as far as the future for oil as we move into 2024?
Yeah, crude's kind of been like, for some reason, it kind of looks like the dollar chart, you know. We had that spike last year, and since there had a strong pullback. Since then, we've basically been range-bound. I would say we're near the lows of the year, which if we do hold that, that should provide some support right now. But I would say the benefit of the doubt right now for us would be to the downside. And if we do break the lows, lows earlier in the year, that obviously opens up another down leg there. So, but again, being range-bound, we don't have a strong opinion as far as taking any aggressive positioning in the crude market.
All right, that's going to wrap up this weekend show. I hope everybody who celebrates Christmas has a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays to everybody. We will be back next week with a few daily editorials, but it'll definitely be a slower week, as I think it's good for everybody to take a little time away from the markets and try to reassess as we head into 2024. That seems like it will be a very interesting year with now the change in central bank policies and this more optimistic outlook, especially for markets heading into the new year. Dana, thank you so much for all your time throughout the year. I greatly appreciate your insights on the market and reading over all your content over at the Lion's Share Pro website. We will chat again in the new year. I hope you have a very happy new year, and thank you again for taking time on this weekend show.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Chad. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to both of you and to all the listeners out there. Appreciate being on.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.